when Jesus met Saul on the road to Damascus, the future apostle was told to rise. Acts 9, verse 6. In the King James translation, if you have that version, the Bible says he was told to arise, and A is put before the word. This word, arise, introduces us to a concept that I want to consider tonight. When you look at the Bible, sometimes in the New and sometimes in the Old, you have examples of people being told to get up, to arise. When we think of arise, it may be the morning alarm clock in our lives. Or sometimes when we think about arise, it may somehow be related to our children. We want them to arise, we want them to get up and do something. But in the Bible, we find that God talks to his people about arising. Jesus expected the men that we know as the apostles to arise. For instance, in Matthew 9, verse 9, we read about the call of the man that we know as Matthew. If you were to look at that account, you would find that Jesus is passing by and he says to Matthew, "Follow me." Well, Matthew, as he writes about, let's call it his commitment to Christ, as he writes about that in Matthew 9, verse 9, he says that he arose. That's the same word that's used in Acts 9, verse 6. And as we think about Matthew 9, 9 and this concept, it reminds us that there is a beginning point for each one in the Christian life. If we want to go to heaven, if we want to be in a right relationship with God, if we have an interest in spiritual things, then there must come a time in our life when we rise or arise. We get up, we say yes to Christ and the commitment that he calls us to. We sometimes sing a song about the soldiers of Christ. What do? Well, they are to arise as we think about those words. We cannot go to heaven if we stay sitting down. Christianity is not a passive faith. In the Word of God, we are called to action, to a response where we rise. This is the initial response, and once we arise, God does not want us to say, well, we arose, and we've been up for a little while, now we're going to lie back down, and we're through. You may remember that Jesus once talked about a man who, he said, put his hand to the plow. That is, he arose, he got busy. And then Jesus went on to say that man, if he turns his back, that is, he is no longer involved in that service, he is unfit for the kingdom of God. That's another way of saying that he sits down. We sometimes sing invitation songs about people, the need to arise and right their relationship with God. When we have discussions about people concerning salvation, we need to encourage them to arise, that is, to get up and to obey the gospel. If we do not ask people to arise, if we do not offer that invitation to them, perhaps in a personal setting, none ever will. I'm not really in the habit of doing this, but I'm going to mention a piece of information tonight that I don't think is real private, but I'd prefer that you not mention this to him. But last Thursday night, after I was down in another community, I stopped to see Messner's. Talked to Bob for a little while. And in the conversation that we had, I said to him, you know, you've been caring for Hazel for a number of years. You've done so well in so many areas. You live just like it seems a Christian lives. Why not become a Christian? And he said, you know, nobody has ever asked me. I am 73 years old. And no one has ever asked me to become a Christian. Well, I'm still working on him little by little, and if you would kind of leave that in my ballpark, I would appreciate that, but certainly pray for him that he would make that decision at this time in his life. We never know how long that we ask or have. But as I was thinking about that conversation with him, I thought, how sad that here is a man who's been exposed to Christianity in one form or another for several years, and no one ever asked him to arise, to get up and make a decision. That's sad. And sometimes the lack of an invitation from us is all that is keeping someone back. There are some cases, of course, where people are willing to arise. They're willing to get up of their own accord. We have an example of this in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 4. I'm going to be reading in just a moment, Luke 4:39. Jesus came to his hometown, the place of Nazareth. He went into a synagogue, and he began to teach. He said some things on this occasion that angered people, and the people were so upset that in that 29th verse of Luke 4, the Bible says the people rose up and they wanted to throw him off a cliff. We have a lot of examples in life of people rising up, sometimes very, very quickly, because they are not happy with someone or perhaps something that is said. So we have plenty of examples of people rising up in anger and behaving badly. People may do that several times during an average week. They may rise up and engage in some kind of hostile action. But tonight we want to think about the flip side of that. We want to think about Christians getting up. This word says to us that we want to have an active and a faithful Christian life. We've seen an example of that in the life of Matthew, Matthew 9, verse 9. But we also have an example in Luke chapter 4. In addition to the negative example, we also have a positive example 10 verses later. In Luke 4, verse 38, the Bible tells us that Peter had a mother-in-law and she was sick. Luke, of course, was a doctor. And in this account, he says that she had a fever. It was a great fever. Luke also says that Jesus cured her. After the lady was healed, this is what we find in Luke chapter 4, verse 39. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And then the Bible says in 39b, and immediately she rose up and ministered unto them. Here is the same word. And the Bible says after she received something beneficial from Christ, in this case a healing, she was willing to rise up and help others. Now we may infer a point or two of application from this account. If we are a Christian, if we have become a child of God, do we rise up and help in every way that we can? If we are a member of the kingdom of Christ, if we're in his spiritual body, the church, have we arisen to offer aid in every possible way? We remember, for example, that Jesus once said the fields were wide into harvest in his day and time, and that's still true. Heaven's barn will not be very full unless we're willing to rise up and work. In the next chapter, Luke chapter 5, we read about a man who had palsy, a very serious condition. This is the story where the man had some friends, and the friends took apart part of the roof where Jesus was, and they lowered the man down to the roof. Down he came. Jesus had the opportunity to meet him. We probably remember from Luke 5 that Jesus healed the man, but do we remember the information in Luke chapter 5, verse 25? That's about three-fourths of the way down through the chapter. And immediately he rose up before them and took up what whereon he lay and departed unto his house, glorifying God. Here was a man who arose, the same word, he got up. Well, what did he do after he got up? He glorified God. We may arise to do a number of things in life. Way back when, people arose to change a television channel. I'm old enough to remember that. Not too many people do that anymore, but they used to. And we find others, they arise to do some household tasks. They may get up to fix food, they may get up to clean the house, they may get up to mow the lawn, a lot of things. We do dozens of things each day. But what about the kind of life where we read about in Luke 5, verse 25, a mindset, an attitude where a person says, today I'm going to arise and I'm going to glorify God. That kind of statement denotes purpose and intention. We can live our lives saying, I'm going to arise today to pray. I'm going to arise and sing. I'm going to arise and contemplate how God has been good to me. I will arise and meditate on the greatness of God that is demonstrated in his world. Arise is an important word for us. As we continue to look at Luke's account, in Luke 10, verse 25, we are told about a lawyer who arose and he challenged Jesus with a question. This man asked the Lord, what must I do to have eternal life? Now, on the face of it, that question may not seem to have any kind of negative connotation. It may sound like it is an honest heart asking an important question. But here Luke tells us that this man was tempting Jesus, so he was not quite on the up and up. In spite of what appears to be bad intentions on the part of this man, the Bible tells us that Jesus did answer the fellow's question. In this verse, Luke 10:25, arise reminds us of a fact that is sad but true. We will find as we go through our Christian life, people who arise to tempt us or harass us or somehow make our life very unpleasant, one way or another. We will encounter people as we go through our daily walks who do not share the same faith that we have. It may be a person who has another religious faith, or it may be a person who has no faith whatsoever. This past week, we had to have some office equipment repaired. To my knowledge, this equipment has been repaired twice in the past 12 years. I suppose the first time was probably about 11 years ago, and during that first repair, after the fellow, the technician, had finished, I offered him some religious literature, and I'm not sure 11 years ago exactly what that was. But he made it clear, if I remember right, he just kind of banged his fist down and said, absolutely not. I came out here to repair something, and I don't want to have any contact with your religious group. I don't want to have any religious literature from you. Just forget it. Well, okay. So out he went. A few years went by, I suppose probably 5, 6, 7 years, something like that, and we had to have that same piece of equipment repaired. So again, another technician came out, and I thought, I think that's the same guy as before, but I'm not sure. Should I offer that guy religious literature or not? And I thought, well, on the outside chance that it's a different fella, I'll offer it. So I did, and I found out that it was the same guy, and his view on religion had not changed. Well, you know, whether people are friendly or not, we want to do our best to arise and to give them the information that shows them the right way to God. And sometimes there will be some cases where we find that people have a hostile attitude towards the gospel. Well, this past week we had to have that same piece of office equipment repaired. And I'd been stuck twice, and I thought, I'm pretty sure this guy is not the same fella. But I asked a couple questions to make sure that it really was a different guy. And he said, oh, yeah, typically the other guy comes out, but I'm the second fella who does this kind of thing. And I thought, all right, I've got a different guy. Well, he didn't seem overly interested, but at least he was willing to take a house-to-house publication. And that tells us that there are different times in our life where we can arise, we can get up, and it may not be much that we offer to a person. It may be a tract, or it may simply be an invitation, but we can do our best to arise and spread the good news of Christ. Yet we also remember that there will be times when people tell us in very plain terms that they have no interest. But at the same time, if we will arise and do that, we will find some people who are grateful. Most of the time, the word that's translated arise in Acts 9:6 is related to things in this life. But there are some occasions or some passages where it deals with things beyond this life. For instance, in Matthew 12, verse 41, Jesus used this word to say that at the end of time, the men of Nineveh would be raised up. That is, they will be part of the resurrection. Well, consider from the Lord's statement what that means. People from the past, specifically in this case, individuals from Nineveh, will be raised up. We will get to see people from the past at the final day, at the resurrection. Perhaps there are people that we've read about as we've gone through school, or maybe we look at some books now and look at historical characters and we wonder what some of those people were really like. What was Columbus like? You ever wonder that? Or if not him, what was Jesse James like, or Lincoln, or Washington, or Nero? Or what was Mozart like? Or Beethoven, Buffalo Bill, Pocahontas, Florence Nightingale. You can go down the whole list and have some very interesting historical characters that none of us have ever met in life. But Jesus promised, based on what he says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 41, that all these people will be raised up at the end of time. The word arise tells us it is our guarantee that there will be a resurrection. Whether people were saved or not, they will be raised to meet the Lord and face judgment. The good, the bad, the just and the unjust, the old, the young, the smart and the dumb, everyone will be there. And if we will be raised up, if that's true, Matthew 12, verse 41, then the word arise tells us that we want to be ready for that day. We want to be sure that we become a Christian in the way that God describes, and we live in the manner that the Bible tells us to live. A single word in the New Testament reminds us of our obligation to be ready to meet our Maker. Most of us remember the story in Luke chapter 15. There was a young man, in fact, two boys, but in the story there was a young man who wanted to take some money, his inheritance, and leave home. He did that. The Bible says he went into a far country, and he wasted that money on riotous living. Well, some time passes, and when you come down to Luke 15, verse 18, there Luke tells us, recording the story by Jesus, the young man says, "I will arise," that same word from Acts 9, verse 6, "and I will go home." Well, again, that's a helpful passage as we think about Christian living, because there are times where brethren, for one reason or another, are like that young man. They become unfaithful. An individual may become a child of God, and a day or a week or a dozen years later, that person strays for one reason or another. They leave the fold, and they go into that far country of sin. Well, when that happens, what's God's suggestion or advice? How does God tell that person to react? The biblical injunction is, Luke 15, verse 18, you need to arise. You need to recognize that you are in the wrong place. You need to get up and you need to come back home. Staying in the cesspool of sin is the wrong choice. There is a devotional song, I've heard it sung, probably sung it a couple times way back when, that says, "Get Right Church." I don't know if the lyrics in that hymn can be modified, but I've often wondered about something like this, "Get Right Christian." Or perhaps as we assemble as a body of people, if it might not be possible to sing a hymn which asks, are we right in the Christian life? We have some hymns that use that basic terminology, but none that I know of that are worded quite like that. When a Christian is in that far country of sin, it's time to arise and come back home. We can rise up and do the will of God, or we can make some other choice. In Acts 20, verse 30, we see this word rise or arise being used again. Paul, as he was dealing with some brethren from Ephesus, warned that at a future time there would be men who would arise, same word, and they would begin to speak perverse things. Now, if these people had not ever known the truth, that would have been one thing. But that's not the case. In Acts chapter 20, the Bible tells us that with these men who were going to arise, they were going to be elders, leaders within that local congregation. From within this segment of the local church at Ephesus, Paul said these people are going to come up, and they'll begin to speak things that are not true. Well, this tells us that false doctrine does not crop up overnight. It's almost impossible to point to a congregation which has been overcome by apostasy and say, well, they were fine this Sunday, but the very next Sunday, things just completely fell apart. It doesn't happen like that. Believing the right way is generally a process. It happens little by little. And sometimes the process is so slow, it's so gradual, that people do not really notice what is happening until they've reached a point where things are almost too far gone to correct. People look around and say, well, what happened? Well, the answer to what happened is found in Acts 20, verse 30. a little error arises, people arise, and then one day the congregation, as people know it, is gone. Christians, of course, do not want to look at church life with mistrust and suspicion, but neither do we want to bury our heads in the sand and say false doctrine will never be a problem here. Apostasies happened in the past, and it is still occurring. Another bad choice that we find when we look at this little word arise is used in 1 Corinthians 10:7. Paul reminded the Corinthians of how at a previous time the nation of Israel had arose or risen, and he said they rose up to play. A paraphrase of that thought is they engaged in pagan revelry. And that is still relevant. We live in a period where a lot of people want to live and behave and act as the world lives, behaves, and acts. Our children are exposed to this type of thing at a very early age. And we all must come to a point in life where we make a decision, we make a choice, as far as what we will arise to do. We can either arise and go the way that God has said to go, or we can arise and go the way that the world and Satan sets before people. God calls to each one through his word to arise and do what's right. And you know, each day that we arise figuratively, we have a chance to arise and do what's right spiritually. Included on the side of not doing right is just sitting back and letting someone else do the work. And that's the wrong choice, not to rise up and do what's right. We also remember in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus talked about the end of time. And if you think about the imagery that Jesus used in Matthew 25, he talked about people who were willing to arise, people who were willing to get up. Jesus talks about the sick being helped. Well, how were those people helped? Someone arose and assisted them. You may remember in Matthew 25 that Jesus talked about brethren being in prison. How were they helped? Someone was willing to arise and aid those brethren. Then Jesus talks about in that same chapter people receiving something as small as a cup of water. They rendered sometimes very basic assistance. Why? Because there were brethren who were willing to arise, to get up, and to carry out the will of God. God calls his people to arise, to get up and work. And for those who are not yet Christians, God also asks that same question in Acts 9:6. Arise. What are you waiting for? Throughout the Bible, there is an emphasis on arising. In Acts 22, verse 16, the Bible says, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins." That's where the process starts. If you believe, willing to live as the Bible describes, willing to confess the name of Christ, Acts 22:16 puts that question to us. And then if we have done what that passage says, have we continued to arise as we go through our lives and serve God to the best of our ability? Tonight, if you need to arise in one way or another, and we can help you, will you do that as we stand and sing the selected song?